Ho, 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 ho. It's the jolly season of giving.
On the Ira Kaufman podcast.
Let's give a little this podcast.
With please. The sage of Tampa Bay sports, Santa Claus himself, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richey, the water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Ira Kaufman.
And the man who picked the exact score of the Bucks.
You said that last podcast.
I got to throw it out there again.
Congratulations, Ari. You picked the Bucks to lose. You're Nostradamus over there.
By the way, were you listening to Russo last week when he said he had a friend who watched the Bucks documentary? And his friend told him, hey, tell Ira to lay off the jelly donuts. Did you hear that part?
No, I didn't hear that.
And I said, that was a year ago. I'm down 7 pounds. Of course, I was down 10 a week ago. But now I'm down 7.
That's rough, Ira.
That is
he
rough.
Said that on the air?
He said it on the air.
Ouch.
I mean, that was a big thing for a while there. Coconut donut. Have you gotten your...
It doesn't make the diet list, Sully, so it's out. By the way, I just had Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I just ordered it, threw it out. Come on. Well, what are these people doing? Dark as hell. I ask for extra light in the garbage. Light. Right in the garbage.
Here's one. The Thursday night game, because I knew I was going to literally be up all night, and I was. I didn't get to bed till after 6. You were just getting up and walking the Cosmo.
That's right.
My goodness, that coffee the Bucks have is vinegar. Oh, right. Man. I barely choked that down. Ugh.
Well, we can't complain. It's a nice spread, and it's free, so
I
know, got nothing to say.
But still, that coffee, woof.
All right, Sage. Look, Bill Curry Ford, the final week of the year, amazing year-end savings at Bill Curry Ford. Just get to the website. Do it. BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name. C-U-R-R-I-E. The Currys still are there working. 65-year family dealership. And the end of the year offers are off the chain, Ira. On top of the 0% financing for 5 years, no money down, zero payments for 90 days.
They work with you, Steve. They will work with you.
And the Ira Kaufman discount. Reach out. You can find Sean Sullivan right on the website. It's easy. You just look for the staff, and he's there, and you can direct message him. That doesn't get easier than that. And say, hey, I'm finally buying Ira Kaufman.
This is what I'm interested in.
This is what I want.
Yeah.
And he's going to take great care of you. It's so simple. More people need to do that. They don't want to bother Sean. I hear that. I've said that before. Oh, Bill Curry took great care of me. Oh, did you get a discount on your auto body work? Oh, no. I didn't want to. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, okay, great. Well, more money for Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Check them out now. It's on the 0% financing is on basically every new vehicle that's there, just about. So.
And you'll get more for your trade-in right now.
Much more than you will next week. That's for sure, when it's 2026. And our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, we'll talk about them later, Ira. But they are every smart person's first turn, first phone call when they have any disaster at their property. Mold is a killer. Water damage, you're the water damage whisperer. Do you enjoy your role as the water damage whisperer?
I embrace it. And by the way, you know what needs restoration? This franchise. This franchise we're about to talk about.
I'm glad you brought that up, Ira. You know, this, of course, we'll be talking all things Bucks, but you know, a lot of fans are chirping, not nearly as they are about Todd Bowles, but it needs to be addressed here on this podcast. A lot of fans are chirping Jason Light, Jason Light, Jason Light, Jason Light.
Well, they're looking for villains. Mayfield's getting a couple of pot shots.
They're looking for us to also hammer the crap out of them, and frankly... You know, a lot of people thin out a lot, but enough people think, oh, we're in the tank. We're afraid to say things because of access. And, we won't get a sandwich. We won't get to listen to Vita Vea say, no, I'm not talking to you. So, and we otherwise, this is why we can't criticize. It's nonsense. Anybody paying attention knows that that's not the case, or they should.
Me not criticize?
But Jason Light.
Well, you got to be an equal opportunity criticizer.
Offender.
Jason Light's the boss over this collapse. You know, he's not coaching the players, but I look at it as
he bought the groceries.
We need your sage wisdom, Ira. I look at it. He's the same guy who created this roster, handed it off to Todd Bowles, and the roster was good enough to go 5-1, 6-2. It's not all smoke and mirrors that got them there. And I don't think the guys are being maximized like they were earlier in the season. That's not some great take. They were playing better early. They're not playing as well now. That Jason Light isn't running the right way. So I get those deficiencies on the roster, but Ira, we can even go through some of these recent drafts and decisions. Where do you put Jason Light in all of this?
All right, I'll weigh in this way. Both things can be true. They're not being coached particularly well, and the talent's been exposed, or lack of talent thereof. This is not a big-time front seven defense.
Mm,
it's not.
Nope.
It's not. I wait for anxiously wait for Lee to slap me around on that and show me all the all-pro players that are in the front seven because we have an aging Levante David, and you can take it from there. And I don't think it's necessarily fair to rip the secondary apart when the quarterback's patting the ball for 4 seconds going through this progression. So
Wait a minute. You mean the same defense where Todd Bowles every week says, well, they're getting the ball out really quick. That's what he says every week. So don't tell me it's 4 seconds when the head coach every week looks in the camera and says they're getting the ball out real fast.
Well, I think he's trying to protect some of his players.
Yeah,
the fact is the pass rush is no good. It's just no good.
That's a fact.
I'm not the only one saying it.
It's true.
All the national people said this is a below par pass rush, and of course it all stems from that. That's where it starts. It's a big reason why the 0-2 Bucks did what they did. It's a big reason why the 2020 Bucks did what they did in the postseason. Mahomes never had a chance that day. Never had a chance. Running for his life. I thought Mahomes played a pretty good game, all things considered. How he got the ball to Kelsey for 10 receptions that day, I'll never know. But, you know, they scored 9 points. They didn't score a touchdown. And that's firmly on the Buck pass rush. I don't like this front seven. I think both things are true. You can say Diaby could be coached up a little better. I'm not blaming Bowles for Hassan Reddick. That one is on Light with an assist from Bowles. I'm sure he ran it past Bowles. Light is the guy that we're going crazy over picking, Winfield, and he did this and he picked that. So when guys don't work out, he's got to take the blame also.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't get off scot-free in this whole enterprise. There's going to be a lot of changes on that side of the ball. From coaching standpoint and from personnel standpoint, once this season ends, there's going to be a lot of changes.
Ira, is it fair to say the front seven of the Bucks might be bottom five in the league? I mean, Villa's good, but that's one guy.
I would say below average. I wouldn't go that far, Lee. I would just say below average.
Well, let's dive a little deeper into the Jason Light, Ira.
Reddick didn't make it, and Braswell wasn't a good pick. What am I going to say?
All right. Well, this year's draft. How do you feel?
And he didn't do anything at the trade deadline. That's three strikes.
That's a big one.
How do you feel about Abuka, Morrison, Parrish? Obviously, David Walker was hurt. Elijah Roberts has played a lot in the interior line. And
okay.
Tez Johnson. Is that a good draft? You good with that draft?
My jury's out on Morrison. We'll see.
Fair.
Fair. I like Parrish.
Parrish is a good ball player, yeah.
How could you not like Igbuka? I think he's hit a rookie wall or something. Whatever it is.
And has Parrish.
But he's going to be a good player. Mm-hmm. Igbuka's going to be a good player. His role might change if Evans retires, who Evans says he's going to keep playing. We'll see. But I think Light's drafted well. I can't knock that. I think he's learned a lot from his mistakes.
Yes.
And that is the mark of a good general manager. But he's not foolproof, Lee.
No, he's human.
You know, and his mistakes seem to be common at that same pass rush position. I call it his annual pursuit, Lee, of a pass rusher. I don't know how much you want to put on Bowles. Diaby's okay. He's a decent player. But I don't see him as a 14-sack guy.
No, his ceiling appears to be maybe 8 sacks. Maybe. He's got seven now, doesn't he?
Which is functional.
Six.
Yeah, that's nice.
Six?
You know, I've talked to Sean Sullivan, the general manager at Bill Curry Ford. He swears that Nick Saban's on record said, if you just let Braswell rush the passer, he'll be fine. Well, we know that's not what happened. We ask him to do other things. Great, Todd. Sure. Way to go. You know?
talk about Light at the trade deadline, Lee.
Well, that's an issue. And I didn't bark about that a whole lot. I'm disappointed. I didn't bark a whole lot about it. It's complex. He covets those draft picks like gold nuggets. The Bucks at the time still had a shot for a number one overall seed, right? Or certainly,
sure.
Certainly they had the division we all thought was locked up. We all thought. And I don't think people in front offices understand where fans are coming from. Fans see you got a chance to get to a Super Bowl. That may not happen for another decade. You go all out. You pull out all the stops. And front office people in the NFL, well, I don't know. That was damn draft picks. They just won't let loose of them. And I think Jason, I'm not saying he shouldn't, but I think he falls in love with these draft picks. And he's like, well, 3 years from now, I could use this draft pick on this guy. And it's like, no, right now, you're a step or two away, right now. And it's sort of like the Dan Marino syndrome. Like, oh, Dan Marino lost to Montana. That's all right. He's such a good quarterback. He'll be back. Never was.
Steve, you think there's a possibility that Bowles shared Light's belief and said, we're good. We're going to get guys back, and I don't think we need to make a move.
Well, at the time, I'm sure they decided, well, we got the division locked up, so what are we trading for?
You got to be thinking about January. You got to be thinking about January.
I understand. I don't know what they're thinking about.
You know, ultimately, we don't know what they tried to pull off or what teams would or wouldn't do or who was available,
who
wasn't. Still doesn't take away from the failures that we've seen. Lee, where are you on Jason Light, and what would you say to the fans who want his head?
Do you not want to win a Super Bowl? I mean, this guy's already proven he can build a Super Bowl winner. He's proven it. He's done it. Why would you get rid of that? I don't understand that. I mean, you got to be on acid or something.
Of course he plucked Tom Brady out of door number two. He did.
He did, and he so did Arian. I mean, was he supposed to say, no, Tom, I don't want you. I'd rather have Jameis? Come on. Yeah, but he did it. He did it. No one else did.
But they're not going to win that Super Bowl with Jameis Winston on their side.
That's not the subject. The subject is Jason Light has proven. It's well documented. He put that team together.
Yeah. You know, for me, almost.
Outside of Levante David and Golston.
I think he's as safe as can be.
Oh, absolutely. He's safe as absolutely. Can be. And I can't put it on the same plane, but I think what they've done post-Brady has been almost extraordinary, given the salary cap constraints and winning the divisions and rebuilding the team to the point where people right now are ready to jump off a bridge if the Bucs finish 9-7. That's the bar that Jason Light has set.
Nine and eight.
So I'm good with Light. There's
plenty of blame to go around, Steve.
Ira, who's your most disappointing Buccaneer this season? If you had to pick a name, what's jumping in your head right now? Most disappointing.
Maybe Grizzard.
Disappointing?
Maybe Grizzard. Now he's got big shoes to fill. Cone really knows the offensive side of football, and he's proven it again. I mean, they just ripped the Broncos, and Lawrence is playing out of his mind and been treading water for 3 years till Cone got there. So you got to give Cone his due.
That's a high bar. He's a hell of a coordinator or a coach.
But like Lee mentioned the other day, you got all your weapons. Oh, Steve said it, and you scored 38 against Seattle with half your offense missing, and now you're pretty much intact except for the guards. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can get by with backup guards. You can.
Well, that's a fault.
And the offense is it's stilted. It's not doing anything.
I think that's one area where you could point at Jason Light because, look, in the Super Bowl season, he had Aaron Stinney there waiting. That guy really hadn't played ever before, was ready to step in and played playoff football, played great. So this year, we get the injury, and Elijah Klein was his draft pick targeted for that backup role. They realize this guy can't cut it. And so, okay.
Have they? He's still on the roster.
He hasn't played. Well, they didn't cut him. Maybe they think he still needs more development. But they realized he doesn't belong on the field.
They also realized Charlie Heck wasn't the answer at right tackle.
Left tackle. They let him play right tackle.
Left tackle. But then they replaced him at right tackle eventually.
Well, Gedeke got healthy. They let him play right tackle when Gedeke was out. But they refused to let him play left tackle. Every time Wirfs was out, all four games, remember they started Chukwuma. They would not put Charlie Heck at left tackle. Not happening. So
and Barton.
Charlie Heck was
and Barton
a, Bick
in week
was a
one.
Mess.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
First three weeks, right?
First 3 weeks, Barton out there. So the guard situation just hasn't worked. He didn't find that backup. I thought Luke Haggard played pretty well when he was in there, but then he got a shoulder injury. They never put him back. He's healthy
now. I'm not going to kill a general manager for not having a good enough backup guard. Well, I'm not going to kill
him. Well, I think Steve's on the side. Not kill him. I don't think Steve's killing him, but he's pointing out that had there been a better left guard or a better right guard, the Bucs may not be in the position they're in. And yeah. I think that's fair.
You know, here's one thing that we haven't mentioned in a couple of weeks here. I think Bowles was asked about this. I'm not sure Bucky Irving's their best back this season. This season. I think White's outplaying him right now.
What did Bowles say on Tuesday? What did he say?
Oh, my hand's hot.
He said,
You gotta go with the hot hand.
I agree that I would like to see him, Rashad White more.
It's like
Bowles doesn't say a direct thing like that too often.
He did.
Can I add real quick? You know, Bowles did say, we should have run quite more. Like, Todd, I think your headset works. With Josh. I think you could have told Josh, hey, Josh, run White.
You know, if the other two backs weren't doing anything, then I think you could say it's the backup guards. They got no running game. They're not physical at all.
Well, they're also getting blown up in the pass game.
But, you know, Tucker's scoring touchdowns. He's pretty good around that goal line. And White ripped off a 39. Where's the 39-yarder from Bucky this year? I don't see it. Steve, what's going on?
He's not the same player since he got hurt.
Not the same player. He wasn't the same player.
He wasn't doing that
before
right.
He got hurt.
You're right, but he did make some big plays. He hasn't made. Yeah.
And I'm the guy all season that said he's going to have a spectacular year. I just.
I wrote a story this summer, and Bucs fans got PO'd at me. And I wasn't trying to pee on him. I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like the last 10 years, every running back this decade, no, actually last 10 years, every rookie running back that ran for 1,000 yards, the next year sucked. All but two. The next year they sucked. And I wrote that, like, well, maybe Bucky.
Big drop off.
Yeah, big drop off. And people got mad at me. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. It's not what I'm talking about. These are facts, yeah. You know?
I'm shocked at the drop off. I think this off the field stuff with Bucky Irving played a significant role in what's going on.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if they're going to keep him.
Ooh.
How that works. They may have to make a decision there.
I thought White might be the guy that gets squeezed out.
I thought so too.
Look, if Bucky Irving has off field issues, he's got 2 years in the books. He's on a downward slide. Maybe this is the time to get rid of him. I'm not advocating for it, but I could certainly see if they're like...
His trade value's diminished, Lee. It's diminished. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Well, so is his on-field value.
I can't give up on him. I can't do that. Not yet.
I think it would be a little harsh right now.
It depends who the coach is, right? He might. You never know.
Well, that's very true. I don't think we know for a fact what the hell was going on. But we have an idea. Well, I'm sure if there's a new coach coming in, they're going to know what the hell was going on.
What bugs you about Grizzard, and how much of a role is Bowles playing in this offense right now? I mean, is he the guy that said 30 rushes?
Bowles,
what's going on?
Bowles has said time and again, he doesn't touch his offensive coordinators. He lets these guys do their own thing, even if they're running the train off the tracks. He's basically said that before. Liam Cohen, it was said to me off the record, but I'm okay with it now.
Because, what about him?
Well, because he's not part of the organization, I don't think he would care. Right. So I don't like
but
doing
But you
this,
held it up to now. But That's good.
He told me, I was talking to him on the side while he was still with the Bucks. He basically was like, I asked him about Bowles heavy-handed or whatever. He's, you know, in the offense. And he's like, basically just said, I can't believe how loose the leash is on me. I mean, he told me up front he was going to, it's my offense, but I never thought it was going to be this free. This is great coaching for this guy. I do whatever I want.
And we thought he should have slapped around Leftwich a lot more than he did.
He didn't. He just fired him.
He didn't.
There were so many reasons to slap that guy around.
I mean,
I don't think he's telling Grizzard what to do.
Grizzard's responsible.
Bowles is telling Grizzard run the ball 30 times?
My lead sentence was it sure feels like he got his wings clipped.
Maybe Grizzard's the guy that came up with that stat. I mean, who knows? I mean, the 2-15.
Well, I would not be surprised if that's a CYA stat. If that, you know, after the fact, like, hey, you could use this when they ask you, because they're going to ask you this, so use this.
Even Mayfield said it, right? Mayfield said it.
They were rehearsed.
Yeah.
Well, the analytics guys have a big role in the organization. They may not always be listened to, but maybe they were listened to too much last week and got in everybody's head, hey, if you run against them this and you control the clock this much, the numbers say you're guaranteed to win. And Bowles is still sitting there on his radio show talking about, we did everything right except for that turnover late, and we were in position to maybe kick the field goal or win. Todd, you got to be in position to be up by 10 points to take a friggin' knee, not to, you know, to tie it up late. That's not what
you
want.
That's the defensive DNA.
That's crazy.
Real quick about this telling Josh and what to do and all this stuff. Steve referenced analytics. Maybe it's just me, but I have never read any analytics guy who pushed running the ball. They're all about the pass. It doesn't pass the smell test. The analytics guys, the Bucks, I don't care who they're working for, analytics guys would tell Todd Bowles, run it 30 times. That is so anti-analytics.
Having said all that, I don't see many changes on the offensive side of the ball in 2026. They might have a tight end. Mayfield's coming back. The receivers are intact. The offensive line, they're going to get the gang back together. Mouth's not going anywhere.
Todd Bowles said on his radio show,
I don't see a lot of changes on offense.
They need a tight end.
I'm glad you said that in some ways, because Bowles said on his radio show, they're figuring out how to actually use all these receivers.
Oh, come on.
That they got. That's what he said.
I know, but it's still.
Which is insane. It's insane.
Well, that's a tough job because you only threw the ball 10 times in the first half.
There you go. So the Thursday night game against Atlanta looked like they had it. If they didn't figure it out, they were close to figuring it out.
That's a nice problem other teams would like to have.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous comment considering they've been planning for it for months. And why is this such a challenge? I don't understand. We'll see if it changes on Sunday in Miami.
By the way,
a new coach, don't discount Ira. A new coach, a lot of these players may be knocked out if he says, this guy's soft. I watched all the film. He's soft. Get him out of here.
I don't think you can get rid of Chris Godwin. I mean,
hell no.
You know, are you going to get rid of Luke Getteke? Hell no.
No.
Hell no. By the way, speaking of 67, what the hell was he doing out there in Charlotte on Sunday?
His head.
That's awful. The biggest game of the year. That's awful.
Four penalties.
I think it might have been five. One might have been declined.
I'll give him a pass for this reason only. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Okay. If he had his head thinking about that cheerleader girlfriend of his, okay, I get it. But still.
You're giving him a pass on that? Come on, Lee.
Anybody that is focused on a beautiful brunette and maybe loses focus on their profession, I give him a pass.
You give him a pass. What's going on here, Steve?
Bowles ripped him on his radio show, called him out. You know who else he called out? Levante David on the touchdown where Bryce Young scrambled and got away from three guys.
That was a great play by Young. That was a great play.
Great play by Young, except Bowles point blank said Levante knows under no circumstances are you going to leave your coverage. And he did. Touchdown.
Ira, speaking of uncomfortable.
Three guys had a shot at Young, though.
That's
right,
embarrassing. That happens all the time. Now, they get so close.
Speaking of uncomfortable facts, is the Carolina game Levante David's last home game?
Playoffs.
Well.
Playoffs?
I think he's going to retire. Yeah. I think he's going to retire.
I think so, too.
Somebody told me today, they said Mike Evans is going to retire. Somebody told me that today.
What is that? What kind
someone
of
reliable
is that?
Or
what
someone at 7-Eleven? What?
Somebody that actually heard it from Evans.
What?
Like, before the season started.
Before the season started.
Well,
I believe that.
The end of the streak, Lee? That could be a factor?
I don't buy it.
You don't buy it?
It doesn't fit any of his M.O.
Before the season, you and I, Ira, last May, spoke with someone who would know about this stuff, and he flat out said he had no idea what Evans was going to do. So I think that if this guy didn't know, I think that was on the table. Retirement was on
the
table.
Lee, if David comes back, do you cut his snaps down? If he wants to come back, what do you do? Do you say you're going to be a part-time player?
Levante will give you a job as a coach. We'll give you a job in the front office. We'll give you a job as a scout. But we both have to move on. We both have to move on.
Well, it's
Levante's not a starter.
It happens all around the league, Lee.
Father Time
every
is
year.
Undefeated. Yeah.
Every year.
It's very interesting, though, because he's got more than 100 tackles.
But we watch him every week, Steve.
I understand. I'm saying, though.
The eye test, Steve.
I'm not arguing the point that he's past his prime, but the guy is still producing.
Well, you better get a hell of a linebacker next to him, and his name is not Savasi Dennis.
Yeah.
They need a linebacker badly, whether it's Levante retiring today, tomorrow, next year. And Dennis is not it. I'm sorry.
You know, a good metal linebacker, he could make up for a lot of problems.
Oh, yeah.
He really could.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not asking for Ray Lewis, you know. But, you know, like a borderline Pro Bowl player, he really could help.
Yeah.
Number two in the league in tackles this year, Mr. Devin White. Number two
again, the eye test.
Oh, I think it's funny that him and Max Crosby have gotten a big...
Yeah, how about that? I'll take Crosby in that fight.
I agree.
Belly, wouldn't you?
Well, not only that, I think Crosby's more credible than Devin White. So whatever they got in a huff about, I think Crosby...
Steve, I don't think we've talked enough about Mayfield. What is going on with Mayfield, Lee? I mean, I don't expect to pull games out of his ass like every week in the first month. Mm-hmm. That's not sustainable. But besides the fourth quarter comebacks, he was playing damn good. And he threw two picks in nine games, Lee, and now he's got eight interceptions.
It's flipped, yeah. I'm a Mayfield fan. I have gone on record on this very podcast of saying... I don't think there's a quarterback with better intangibles in the NFL than Baker Mayfield.
But I don't think he's hurt right now, Lee. I don't think he's
hurt. I hope he's hurt because he's playing lousy.
He's not even on the injury report, Lee.
Well, neither was Brady. He had to have knee surgery. I hope he's hurt. And the reason why I say that is he's playing terribly. And I'm sorry if I'm, if my last name was Glazer, the way he's playing when you really need him in December. When you need him to put he put the team on his back, what, half dozen times? Well, it's December. Now they need him more than ever.
So he's under contract for 26.
Yeah, they need him right now more than ever, and he's unable to answer the bell. I shouldn't say that. He's unable to deliver. He answers the bell. Some could argue he's the reason why they're losing. I'm not giving him a boatload of money until I see some more success.
Steve, is there a downside to letting Mayfield enter the season on the last year of his contract? Is there a downside to that?
Yeah, because a huge downside, because if he has a good year, you're screwed. I mean, the guy made the Pro Bowl twice. He's 30.
That's a good screw. Because otherwise, you're giving a guy a boatload of money and he's playing like this, then you're really screwed.
Why aren't you a little bit concerned about the way he's playing?
I'm not concerned about giving him the money. His performance has dropped off, no question. I'm not concerned about paying him because... He's got everything you want in a quarterback. You're not going to find that top five quarterback, that elite quarterback, just falling out of the sky. It's very rare.
How about a number 16 quarterback?
Well, I think he is that.
But you love it. You do love his intangibles.
Love his intangibles. Love is intangible. I just don't like the way he's playing down the stretch. That's why I said, and it sounds sinister, I hope he's hurt, because if he's hurt, then he's not going to be able to...
His accuracy's dropped off, Steve. It's dropped off, his accuracy, that percentage.
There's a lot of stuff going on, from the targets to the pass rush to how he's handling it to...
To the backup protection.
All kinds of things. So I don't have a problem. I would give him the money because you have to have a grandmaster plan to do better. I don't know if you can do
You're okay with locking up just a ton of money and...
Everybody would have told you around the league they were crazy to give Trevor Lawrence the money. There's a lot of guys that get the money who aren't even close to as good as Mayfield. You got to have a quarterback. So what's the alternative?
Draft one.
Yeah, but you're not in position to draft one. You'd have to
tank trade. It might cost you. Yeah. They're out there. You could do it.
It's not a QB rich draft, Lee.
There's a couple of guys in there that look like these. They're top enders. It's not a Josh Allen kind of thing. No, but you might be hosing yourself for years if you give Mayfield some monster contract that you can't get out of, and he doesn't get any better than what he's doing right now. Well, you're really painting yourself into a corner.
No, I don't think so, because a monster contract. These guys don't sign all those years guaranteed. You'd be locking them up for 3-4 years.
3-4 years, you know, SOL then.
But there's no reason to think he's going to be garbage.
Yeah, there is, actually. It's called his play this month.
Yeah, but...
But the
body of work was very good in 2020.
Yes, the body of work,
very difficult circumstances that he's been under. Hurt, first-year offensive coordinator, a guy who may not even be competent. He's playing for a defensive head coach.
Makeshift offensive line.
And the makeshift line. Those are three real reasons.
When he had the makeshift offensive line, that's when he excelled.
You're right.
So I can't use that as an excuse for him.
It's not an excuse. It's just the reality. It's not going to work
all year long. I can't use the reality of him behind a makeshift offensive line when he looked like an MVP, that when your two best players on the offensive line get healthy, all of a sudden you fall off the map. I can't say that's because of the quote-unquote makeshift offensive line.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's playing well, but do you think he's falling off the map?
Not off the map. These 2 weeks,
he's struggling.
These next two games could be telling, Lee. They could be telling.
Like I said, I like him.
Right. I want him here. I don't know how else to say it. That no one has better intangibles than
He's going to be under center in 26.
Oh, right. But I got to see maybe next year in December, I got to see better play when you need him. When you need him. And if he was what he was in September and October, this team would be in the playoffs. He would have won that Atlanta game. He would have won the Carolina game. And by the way, those two runs, you always talk about desire. Those two third down runs he had, that's one of many reasons you like the guy.
I agree with that.
You really do.
He has a knack for doing those third and nines.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah, he's great at that.
He had two 20-yard runs.
But one thing coming up for this game is, and Mayfield mentioned it, which was sort of odd, but I think it ties to the data that these guys get and the information that's provided to them. He noted that Bradley Chubb of the Dolphins needs 1.5 sacks to hit $1 million bonus
in
his contract.
How does he know that kind of stuff?
Somebody's telling him. That's
Florio? I'm sorry, who's telling him?
No, somebody's advising Mayfield and the offensive line, hey, this guy's going to be motivated as hell, so we need
keep
to
keep an eye
attention.
On this guy. Yeah.
He's got 6.5.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So that was really
Chubb's a guy that I thought might be available at the trade deadline. He was one of the guys. Not that he's not Miles Garrett.
I would have loved to have had Chubb here, but... Ira, you and I go around and around about this. Bowles does not believe in an edge rush. He'll go to his grave believing you can win without an edge rush.
His blitzes aren't really working this year very well, Steve. In the past, he's caused a lot of havoc with sending Winfield and Tyke Smith.
Yeah, not anymore.
Servassier Dennis.
Well, Servassier Dennis did come up.
He did. With that Josh Allen play. Yeah.
Well, even
that.
Sunday in Carolina, he got a sack.
But
right?
overall, the blitzing hasn't been particularly effective. As an example, the touchdown pass to McMillan, they didn't get there.
No, and look, that's Bowles' calling card. So now we've got the blitzes aren't getting there to add to the list of problems for Todd Bowles. And what probably is the number one reason to fire Bowles in some ways is next year. What does every fan know, and Lee just sort of mentioned it, the Bucs need an edge rusher. They're going to want to draft an edge rusher and try to find, you know, that next generational edge rusher. And why would you hand that guy to Todd Bowles? It doesn't make any sense.
Unless Danielle Hunter, you know, type is available in free agency, Lee, and you go out and grab him and you got to pay the guy. Pay him.
Oh, yeah.
Pay him. You know who the most consistent Buck is? You were saying who's been the most disappointing. Most consistent Buck.
Jacob Parrish?
Chase McLaughlin.
Yeah.
Now he got off to a shaky start, Lee, but it didn't last long.
It lasted half.
I mean, he is so good.
Yeah.
Lee, he is so good.
That's why it's so disappointing that that Bullock penalty, they would have been in field goal range. They would have been in field goal range. Mayfield doesn't have to make that throw.
I'm not even sure, Lee, that they weren't on the fringe of field goal range when he threw the pick.
I agree with you. It was probably, it was borderline.
60-yarder, yeah. And he's made 65 this year. Very important question before we get to our picks.
Wait a minute. What? You let Mayfield off the hook on that interception because Mike Evans went the other way. Are you totally absolving him?
Yes, for this reason and this reason alone. Mayfield himself said on the Buccaneer Radio Network, right after the game, before he was probably still sweating, before he took a shower, he said Evans told him when there's a scramble, the receivers are supposed to go a certain way. Evans told him he thought he was starting to scramble, and Mayfield said, "I can understand that."
All right.
Yeah,
it's so unfortunate. It is unfortunate.
Dan Orlovsky went to the film, gave a dissertation
on
why.
You mean the Bill Walsh of Connecticut?
Yeah, yeah. Why Mayfield? It's really just bad. Bad luck, incredibly terrible timing that Evans decided, oh, he's scrambling, so I'm breaking away from where he's scrambling because I don't want to run my defender to where the quarterback is, and just the split-second thing. But I fault Mayfield because the guy doesn't know how to throw the ball away. Tom Brady, we watched him for 3 years here. He knows how to throw the ball away, throw it into the dirt, throw it into the stands. Mayfield doesn't know how to do that.
That's that never say die attitude, yeah. Which
and,
we embrace.
And before we make our picks, I'm still pissed off that the longest completion was past 13 yards was one pass to Egbuka. 13 yards, Lee? 13? Not 31. 13. That is a dink and dunk attack,
it's
Lee.
Embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
What do the guys signing the checks think when they're paying two $20 million receivers?
13
and they don't
yards.
Them?
That's it.
Scary.
5-star Google reviews, Ira, Florida's Elite Restoration.
Oh, I thought you were talking about our podcast.
No, 4.1 and a half. 5-star Google reviews. That means
Josh and his crew.
That's across the board. So everybody who's reviewed them, the hundreds of people, give them a 5, and they're helping these people in their time of desperate need. Flood. Your house is destroyed. Storm damage. Fire.
If they screwed up, you would have read it on Google review. You would have
read it. Of course. They don't screw
up.
Yeah,
that kind of money, sure. Yeah.
They've got the best technology, and they'll come out and give you a free inspection. You call them 24-7. They are going to respond 24-7. Well, how valuable is that? You don't have to start calling your insurance company. They're going to send some guy out, an adjuster, and next thing you know, you're speaking into a microphone, and they've got you handcuffed to the door, and they're stealing your money.
And they lowball you. Yeah.
Or all kinds of things are going on. You need an independent voice in there. Somebody who can work with your insurance company and make sure it gets done right. That's floridaselite restoration.com. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you call. You will get a $500 back if you end up using them after the free inspection, even if you just mention Ira. And you don't even have to say Kaufman. You could just say Ira.
Everybody knows Ira.
All right, Ira, before I hit you with this very important question that needs your wisdom and we make our picks, Lee's got one for you.
Yeah, we need your wisdom, Ira. I generally don't like this guy. I think he's a fraud.
Rick Stroud.
I did not say that.
You can't hesitate like that because Isbitz is going to jump in.
Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, I watch him once in a while.
He said something that I thought was very interesting. And again, I think he's a
lot
fraud.
Of his takes, I think, are stupid. Yeah.
They're meant to stir the pot. Nothing else. Accurate. He openly brags he doesn't care about accuracy. Well, why the hell should I listen to
him? Oh, all right.
Why should I even listen to him? But this time he made an interesting point. I don't know if it's BS. I don't know if someone wrote it for him. But here it is. Cowherd said, Baker Mayfield needs a good offensive coordinator. He had one with Sean McVay with the Rams. Then he had one with Canales and the Bucks. Now, you could argue about Canales as offensive coordinator, but look at the results he's getting in Carolina. And look at the results Baker Mayfield did for him. So he had to be doing something right. That's number two. Number three, here comes Leon Cohen. Look what Baker Mayfield did. And as Cowherd said, it's almost unfair to expect a front office to go 3-for-3 on hiring coordinators. Here comes Grizzard. We all have doubts about Grizzard, and Mayfield is slumping.
I'm not sure I remember who he had in Cleveland in 2020.
Didn't he have Monken one year?
He had a good season.
Monken was there 1 year, but I don't
the
remember
which
year.
The guy that his old man worked for the Steelers. He worked for Parcells.
Freddie Kitchens was there 1 year, and I think that's when Monken was there, but he wasn't calling the plays. And you have, I know who you're talking about.
Todd Haley.
Todd Haley.
Lee, there might be a little truth in that, but I think you can say that about a lot of quarterbacks. I don't think Josh Allen necessarily needs a great offensive mind because when a play breaks down, he makes the play.
Yeah.
And Mayfield, with all his running prowess, he ain't Josh Allen. Now, he didn't do badly under Canales.
No, Mayfield. I didn't say that. I said
he did
well.
He didn't do badly in the canals. But of all the crazy things Cowherd says, that's not crazy. That's not crazy.
That might have a nugget. Oh, no, I'm sorry. A kernel of truth.
A kernel of truth.
All right, Sage, just for perspective, Mayfield does lead the NFL in yards per carry for quarterbacks over 30 or 40 attempts or whatever it
that's
is.
That's astonishing. So
he's number one.
More than Caleb Williams.
He's no Josh Allen in the red zone, but he is leading the NFL in yards per carry for quarterbacks. So that's something. All right. You ready for this, Ira? So this is a serious question. It doesn't need a long answer from you, and then I'm going to explain to you why I'm asking. Todd Bowles, when he went on that profanity-laced rant after the Falcons game, when he said, you know, you got to make sure the shit hurts and all this stuff that he talked about, guys, you got to care enough. Was that Todd Bowles saying that the team's effort, mental, physical, both, is not what it needs to be? Is that what he was saying?
He's saying they need more dedication to the cause. More dedication.
Is that effort? What is that? Is it effort?
I think it's like it's got to kill you to lose. It's got to eat you up to lose. That's what it is, Lee. Eat you up. He doesn't feel that right now in the locker room. He doesn't feel it, Lee. Now
time to go to Dairy Queen.
You know, maybe things can change in the next 2 weeks. You know, so, I think Bowles' point is, as coaches, we're breaking our ass to get you guys prepared, and you're not fulfilling your part of the bargain. That's the way I look at it.
So
now, whether that's true, I don't know. But that's the way he tends to look at it.
So if that's how he looks at it, then this week on the radio network, why did he say, quote, it's not about effort. It's not about our emotions. It's about our execution at critical times.
I thought you'd get to a podcast without using the word execution.
Oh, that's right.
We are so over that.
Why is he? That like seems like the.
That's a default.
That's the opposite of what he said the other day when he said, oh, it was raw and real or whatever.
It's like
I think he's sugarcoating it.
He's almost trying to play good cop, bad cop. He's the same cop.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
The same guy.
You're right. I didn't think of that. Good cop, bad
usually
cop.
Usually the same guy doesn't do it. Usually the other guy comes in. Let Grizzard do it. Yeah, you know.
I was thinking NYPD Blue when they had the Polish dude and the red-haired guy.
Yeah.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense to me. One day, it feels to me like he was screaming about the team's effort, mental.
He was definitely speaking to his team on the profanity-laced diatribe.
Was that when he played Sipowicz?
Yeah. He was Dennis Franz on that one. Yeah. Donna Abadondo, she was a cute
at player. Least, you know where I'm going. At least Todd Bowles didn't show his rear end like Sipowicz did.
There we go. And who the hell wants to see that?
I know.
Was that in the shower? I hope it was in the shower.
I don't know.
Take it easy. Take
I think I got a screenshot of that, Don. Well, I think I speak for all of us here is that it's been another great year for Joe Bucks fan. We appreciate all the support from the sponsors, from the readers, from the listeners. We love the feedback. It matters because sometimes, and you don't think we're fair, and sometimes you're right. And we have to, you know, consider what you're saying. But we want to wish everybody the very best for 2026. Happy and healthy, especially you, Steve. But we appreciate, you know, this is the season of appreciation. And I can't speak for Joe Bucks fan. I can only speak for me. But we have a lot of gratitude for everybody that's out there backing us up.
It's all right. Last play, Ira, before I call a personal foul on you. All right.
Is it the fourth quarter? Could I be one of the seven?
We're in the two-minute drill here, Sage. I think, and I could be wrong, but I think Bruce Arians needs to get off his ass, get into the building. This is his last year that he's under contract for the Glazers. He said that he's done with his whatever his consulting is.
I hope Arians listens to this podcast.
Arians has said that publicly. So you know what, Bruce?
Go out and style.
Get in the building. Work your ass off for a week. Help Grizzard. Talk to Tom Moore. Get a feel for things. Bring a little juice.
Stow the golf clubs and get in for a week.
Get
stow
in. You got your guy's ass on the line. Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you have to take over the team, but I think he could help a little bit get in there. Is that outrageous, guys?
And he's very aware. I don't care how far he is in the wilds of Georgia. He can't help but be aware of what Bowles' stature is right now with this organization, how tenuous it could be if the next 2 weeks don't go well. I don't think that's crazy, Steve. I'll second you, and you know, maybe I'll text Arians to get his ass down to $1.
Lee, what do you think? Is that outrageous?
Here's what I think. I did not know this, what you just said. Arians' contract is up at this.
He said that publicly on the Pat McAfee show months ago.
If Arians' contract truly is up after this season, Bowles is done. Because we know Arians would have blown a fit. He might even be in Light's ear, might even be in the Glazers' ear. You know, got to keep Todd, you got to do that. and you know, I'm sure they don't want to tick off Arians because, you know, the man got him a Super Bowl. But now that Arians is out of the building in a couple of weeks, Bowles is done.
But to Steve's point, Lee, when Arians addresses the players, if he does, they realize he led a team to a Super Bowl. This guy knows what the hell he's talking about.
Would Arians want to do that? Because he will feel like he's stepping on toes.
Maybe.
I don't know if I'd have him address the whole team, but he could get in there and sit in a meeting.
Well, certainly look at film, you know, yeah.
Yeah, sit with Grizzard, hang out.
And the first thing he says is, throw the damn ball downfield. So that's why I want him out there.
I don't know. Now, Arians, to be as accurate as possible, Arians didn't say, I don't want to continue as a consultant.
Okay,
they might give him a new deal or say, hey, Bruce, we'd love to have you around for you can consult with Jason and do some.
Problem is, he's not around.
Corporate sponsor.
Well, he's not around, but we live in a 21st century where you could, you know, live in Bangkok.
He does go to 3-4 games a year, and I don't know if the Glazers might want him. Hey, we want you to visit some corporate sponsors, almost like what Derek Brooks did for the Lightning for years, like be a community ambassador, Gladhander, community guy. I don't know, but I feel like he should get in there and try to help.
How much did Arians act as a consultant with Bowles about hiring Grizzard, or even Cone, for that matter?
Well, we don't know.
No clue. I mean, it would be strange if Bowles didn't say, "Hey, Bruce, text Bruce. Hey, Bruce, what have you heard about these guys?" Or sniff around. I don't know.
Boy, Buck fans have certainly forgotten about Cone's shady dealings with the Bucks.
They certainly have. You know, I want it whenever, and it is brought up multiple times today on JoeBucksFan.com.
Isn't Cone getting into it with some fellow coaches?
Oh, he's got
a little friction going on with some coaches.
Yeah, which is great for us because it's drama.
Yeah, always,
drama.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's gotten into it with Peyton. He's gotten into it with Mr. Clean in San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah.
I started to say something.
That's outstanding, Lee. All right.
Our picks right now, Ira. We'll keep this short.
Want me to start?
Go ahead.
And I'm not going to do it if. I'm not going to do it. But with both key games starting at 1 o'clock at the same time.
Seattle and the Panthers.
If Seattle's kicking Carolina's ass, which they might, even though the game's in Charlotte, you know, Carolina's probably looking ahead to, you know, beating the Bucks in the final week. So if Carolina's kicking Seattle's ass, and I don't believe this thing about not looking at the scoreboard. Everybody's looking at
it. Sure.
So if Carolina's going down and getting beat bad, I could see the Bucks losing this game. And you know what? Maybe he pulls Mayfield after three quarters.
I asked him that. And
who the hell knows?
He said, no.
Now, that's a dangerous game, Lee. That's a dangerous game. You do that, and Carolina comes back, you're gone. You're history. But having said that, Lee, I picked Carolina last week. Miami was rolling, Lee. They were rolling. They got one of the best running backs in football. Steve says he is the best back. I'm not going that far.
Yeah, I'm
but he's
Gibbs
in my
guy.
Top five.
Yeah.
This guy is really, I think he's the most underrated player
probably
in the NFL.
Probably.
But that guy's not going to beat the Bucs by himself. And most of their problems are on pass defense. I don't trust this Ewers guy. What, he played the Texas, I think, the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
Quinn Ewers. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to pick the Bucs, but they don't kick anybody's ass. Lee. They just don't.
Got to keep it close.
You know, the Dolphin defense is okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say 24-17. Visitors setting up a monumental game in week 18.
I've said this the past couple podcasts. I still kick myself in the rear end for not picking the Saints a couple weeks ago because I wanted to, and I'm like, no.
You
fans.
Did pick Carolina last week.
I picked Carolina. Yeah. I do not like this team at all right now. I think it's a bad team. I think they're playing bad. Nothing about it. This team gives me any confidence. I have zero faith in their defense. But, man, if you lose to a tanking team, and the Dolphins are tanking, let's be clear. They're tanking. I don't blame them. I would, too. You're either playing for the playoffs or you're playing for the draft. If they lose to a tanking team, well, first off, what does it say about the Dolphins? But if they lose to a tanking team, Bowles is done. There's no way you bring him back. No way you bring him back. I mean, I just can't imagine. I think the Bucs win 20-17. Like I said, I just don't like the way this team is playing. I think they'll win, but it would not shock me one bit if they found a way to lose because the last 3 weeks, they found a way to lose.
You know,
two bad teams.
Steve, here's one thing we haven't even thought about. They are playing the worst football in a terrible division right now. Atlanta's playing better. The Saints are playing a lot better.
Yeah.
And Carolina's playing better.
They
can still finish in third place, Ira.
Unbelievable.
It's on the table. All right, real quick on the pick. Number one, HN, and our draft guru, Sean Sullivan, agrees with me. Best back in the NFL.
Wow.
5.8 yards a carry. He leads the league. And
he doesn't even carry it that much.
He's spectacular.
Steve?
He's spectacular. I don't know what else to say. And he was like that when he jumped in the league. Ridiculous yards per carry. But he's had less than 20 touches. He catches the ball, too. In each of the last three games, they're tanking. They're not going to handing the ball 23 times like they have in certain games this year.
I don't like him catching the ball in those flats, Lee. That's a problem.
He's not gonna play that much. He'll play because the fans love him. They'll get him, try to get him his 100 yards. He's already had an amazing season.
The crowd will be lousy in Miami.
It'll be lousy, but the people will be out there. But they're tanking. The Bucks aren't. And I'm going to...
You sure about that?
No, I wouldn't bet on that. I'm going to flash back to them putting up 28 easily on Atlanta, who has a pass rush. So I'm going 30-12 Bucks, setting up a ridiculous showdown.
You mean a comfortable win?
Comfortable win. Not an impressive win, but a comfortable win, if that makes sense.
That's a 10-point win, maybe?
No, I said 30-12 okay. Bucks. 30-12
Could anything change depending on the scoreboard in Charlotte?
I guess it's possible.
How Bowles is approaching the game as it goes on.
It's possible, because it's possible that if Seattle goes up 24-3 at halftime, maybe the Panthers lay it down and say, we don't need to get anybody hurt. We got the Bucks next week. So who knows?
I got to ask you real quick, Steve. When I was in high school, I knew all this stuff like the back of my hand. Now, as an adult, I listen to it and I get freaking dizzier. What are the ramifications either way? Carolina and who they're playing?
Seattle.
Carolina, Seattle. Give us the ramifications either way. Win or lose,
sure.
Carolina.
If Carolina beats Seattle and the Bucks lose to
it's over.
If Carolina loses and the Bucks lose, it's on to the final game, and that will determine who wins.
And if Carolina loses and the Bucks win, it still goes on to the final
game. If Carolina loses and the Bucks win, nothing changes.
Then they'll be tied going
to the last game. Yeah. So that's it. I mean, Carolina, it's possible they could beat Seattle and just crush the Bucks' dreams, but the Bucks would have to lose, which would surely get Bowles fired.
That's what I mean. They lose to a tanking
team. Steve, let's talk about that just for a second. A huge Carolina upset. I think they're like 7 or 8 point underdogs at home to Seattle. Now, Seattle looks really good. They do.
Mm-hmm.
But, Steve, in the crazy event that Darnold gets hurt or something, and Carolina pulls the game out of their ass, and the Bucks lose to Miami,
it's over.
How the hell can Bulls come back?
Well, a lot of fans.
Then the last game is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Bucks are 7-9.
Well, there's a legion of Bucks fans that are saying, if Bowles makes the playoffs, how can you bring him back?
Well, if that happens, if your doomsday scenario happens.
That's a doomsday scenario.
If that happens, there is no doubt in my mind that the order will come from the top, from the Glazers and Jason Light, to tank the final game of the season at home. No question about it.
But Carolina, they might not play all their guys either.
Well,
could
I'm
be
saying
a
that
the Bucks, game could be a force.
The Bucks will seriously want to tank. They've done it before.
You mean like a preseason game?
And
just to get two better spots in
you,
the draft.
Damn right, yeah, yeah. Look, Todd, hey,
and maybe finish third in the division, right?
Maybe. Spot that's on the table.
All right, it's very unlikely that's going to happen. It's unlikely, but
not that unlikely.
But it wasn't it wasn't likely that they were going to lose to the Saints either.
Yeah, or the Falcons.
Or the Falcons.
Yeah, I had one fan to reach out, obviously outraged, but the guy happened to note that nothing could help the Bucks that. Terrible field conditions, horrible rain. That helped the Saints. Didn't help the Bucks.
How?
Well, they won.
Yeah, but still, they're a turf team. They're not.
I know that.
No, the bad turf was against the Falcons.
No. The bad turf was against the Saints. It rained all game.
Oh,
you would think that would help the Bucks, but it helped the Saints. Also noted that the Falcons came in a short week when everybody loses on Thursday Night Football. That didn't help the Bucks. And then they go to Carolina where they play better on the road. The Bucks,
and that didn't help
them either. So three things.
That's an astute observer.
How, I still don't know how. I know the Saints won. How would a chewed up grass field help the Saints when they're not a grass team?
Right. That's the point. It should have helped the Bucks, but
it didn't. Yeah.
Right.
But you were saying it helped the Saints.
Yeah.
Like,
well, somehow it did.
Well, I'm not saying it helped them. I just think the Bucks sucked that bad.
One more ominous note.
Ominous.
It's possible that the Saints, they might have found a quarterback. They might have.
Possible.
They might have.
Let me clue you in that in November of 2013, Mike Glennon won Rookie of the Month. So calm down over there.
Lee just saw a picture of Mike Glennon. He asked me, who is it? I said, that's Mike Glennon. What was that? He was at the game.
Yeah, he was at the game. Hugging up.
Nice guy.
Godwin and
nice
those
kid.
Guys.
Nice
Let's put it this way.
Didn't he last 10 years in the league?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Let's put it this way. I think if you ask any sober Saints fan who they'd rather have, and I still don't know how to pronounce this guy's name.
Shook. Yeah.
Like AC/DC, Shook Me All
no,
Night Long?
There's no L in there.
Shook, okay. Yeah. If they'd rather have Shook or Fernando Mendoza. They screwed up their chance to get Fernando Mendoza.
Maybe they like this kid, Lee. Maybe they
like him. Well, I'm sure they like him, but is Mendoza a better prospect than Shook? That's what I'm asking. And you may like him, but Baltimore. Baltimore had the first pick in the draft. Whoever their quarterback was, Jack Trudeau, I don't know. Did they like him? Yeah. Would you want Elway? Hell yeah.
By the way, I almost pulled over to the side of the road. I was listening to the NFL Channel 88.
The great 88.
And they were talking about an injured quarterback. I can't even remember the team. And they said, well, if the guy doesn't play, they might use Josh Johnson. He's still playing?
Yeah.
Tell me he's not still playing in
this
league.
No, he's still playing.
Josh Johnson?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
One of these days, Kyle Trask will get a shot.
That guy ought to write a book,
yeah,
Josh
exactly,
Johnson.
Exactly.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's still around. He played last year for, I think it was Washington?
I think so.
A little bit?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bucks draft pick in 08.
Yeah, Chucky
drafted
him. Yeah, Chucky had him.
Chucky drafted him, yeah.
That's before Josh Freeman came along.
Yeah, of course.
Now, the year before. Freeman came in 09.
Yeah. Did Josh Johnson play for Harbaugh at San Diego?
That
Jim Harbaugh?
Don't know.
I think he did.
I think he did, too.
All right, Ira. You've been doing a lot of thinking. We're out.